Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Past 2 p.m. Gonna get you into the weekend here. In spite of my terrible show prep, we've been fine.
You're fine?
It's only been an hour.
Good.
Everything is going well.
Our pal Abby Stahlschmidt, who is an amazing musician, just posted on our stream letting everyone know that she has a concert. Kirkwood Performing Arts Center on October 17th. Only 22 tickets left. Abby's not only an amazing musician, but she's good people. We like her. Not as much as Mark Close liked her, but we like her. What'd you start to say?
I mean, nothing.
You had a look.
Wow.
Yeah, right? We caught her on something.
I didn't see it. I just heard the,
Yeah. That's a cute laugh. You didn't put together my project.
Oh, my gosh, I forgot.
Uh-huh.
I totally forgot.
Yes, you did.
I'll get on it. There's been a lot going on. There's been things happening. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it.
All right, fair enough. Rachel, what do you got?
For Razor's Edge today, let's do something fun because it's Friday. We'll do some celebrity news here. We're gonna start with the Kelces. We've been talking about them all week because you know we've got that song going around about Travis's.
Can't quit singing it.
I mean, what would
Travis's
you like to
Kelce.
Call
Kelce. You can just say it that
he's
way.
Little Kelce, the littlest Kelce. his sister-in-law, Kylie Kelce, has a podcast because they all have podcasts. But she said, look, I love the song, but it's a little too much information for me.
Oh, fair. Those Kelces. How hilarious she is.
How is there any too much information when all you guys do is just put your stuff out there nonstop all day, every day, 24/7?
Thank do
you.
They?
Yeah. Well, I mean, everybody wants a podcast.
I don't know if that's putting your stuff out there all day, every day.
Not literally your stuff, but like...
You know, in this case, it is.
Do we have any right to be mad at them or hate them?
No.
Are they just doing what we would do?
I don't. I think I would be satisfied with my, however, dozens of millions of dollars, and maybe not do a podcast. Yeah.
I would like to think that as well.
But you know,
I think you're.
I feel like I'm just pointing out, like, hey, yeah, they all have a podcast. That's a fact. They all have a podcast. Yeah. Mama Kelce, Daddy Kelce, yeah. Baby Kelce. They're all podcasting 24/7.
His penis has a podcast.
Little Kelce.
That's Daddy Kelce.
The Littlest Kelce is the podcast name.
You know, we're getting a lot of comments about the Odyssey app possibly being down. I have not gotten any emails about this or anything, but if you're having problems, it doesn't seem like you're the only one having problems.
There is a potential outage. Investigations are ongoing.
Okay.
According to this one that I got here.
Maybe I deleted it without opening it. From time to time.
I'm meaner than you guys about the Kelces.
I mean, you're fine to hate them, I think.
If I'm honest... And this doesn't make me look like a good person. It makes me look like a bad person because in this way I am. I don't want like the Kelce parents to feel good about themselves because they're famous doing a podcast. It's like, no, it's awful. Like you have no business doing this. You're only doing it because your son's famous and you're only doing it because he's really famous now because he's dating Taylor Swift. I just get, and it couldn't affect me less.
It doesn't affect any of us. However, they are brazenly capitalizing off of the fact that their son is engaged to Taylor Swift. And I don't think it's wrong to point that out. you know, I mean, it's the kind of thing where it's like, we all see what you're doing and people are going to notice when you do something like that. It's your right to do it. Go ahead and do it. Lots of people are fine with it. But like, don't get mad at me for noticing what's happening.
Okay, I feel better.
Yeah, I get more irritated with the people that keep offering them this. You wouldn't offer them this if their kids weren't famous football players.
Yeah.
So that's not be based on their abilities, their talents, their storytelling ability, the uniqueness of their perspective. It's just, oh, yeah, you're loosely related to those two famous football guys. Here, have a podcast.
Yeah.
And we'll promote it for you. Now, think about how many podcasts could do well with that level of promotion and that level of effort from a parent company.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
That's a good point.
Because there are a lot of really good podcasts out there. That and radio shows and TV shows and all that that don't get that level of promotion. But if you have the right last name, boy, there you go.
All right, let's talk about the Super Bowl halftime show a little bit. You know, some are upset.
Which one?
Well, some are upset that Bad Bunny is performing and, you know, he doesn't typically perform in English. So Turning Point USA is going to do their own Super Bowl halftime show, which... I mean, good for, again, I if they want to do that, like, please do. I don't know who the act is going to be at this point. But before Turning Point had made the announcement that they were going to do this halftime show, House Speaker Mike Johnson said he has a better idea than Bad Bunny for the Super Bowl. He wants Lee Greenwood to perform.
Well, he's so relevant in the modern world.
Lee Greenwood responded and was like, I am ready to bless the USA. Waiting by the phone.
Yeah, I mean, Al, how about this? How about you make a song in the last 30 years that people know? Then you can do the Super Bowl halftime.
It's so...
I mean, I hate Super Bowl halftime shows. You guys know that. I've complained about it every year. I always do because I hate how it's just... It's always tailored to, generally speaking, tailored to the people that don't watch football. And he's like, here, guys, watch us now because it's the biggest show on earth. And I really wish there was a little more fan service for football fans. And they do it occasionally. I have complaints about it. But I think that what they're doing with Turning Point is the best thing. Stop complaining and just do or watch something else. Pretty simple. I mean, if you want to do that, watch the Puppy Bowl. It's there every year.
Yeah,
it's been like 20 years of the Puppy Bowl. There are plenty of things you can do. Or... just go do something else at your Super Bowl party instead of watch the halftime show.
To borrow an expression from Dave, it's just so obvious. Right? Like, Lee Greenwood, come on now.
There's again, if you could have so many great alternative ideas that have actually done something in the last 30 years. I'm not picking on the guy. The guy's famous. He had a great career. But what's is he selling records right now? Or is he still singing the same song he was singing during the Gulf War?
Well, Dave Hyams brings up a good point. He said, don't beat up on Lee. He didn't ask for that smoke. He's just out there working that hit.
Yeah, but I mean, he's out there going, sure, I'll do it. Like, okay, have some perspective, dude. I mean, the song is still a hit, and it was a big hit in 1992, but it's the same song.
Do you think MAGA and far-right conservatives are really that monolithic?
No.
Like, they all love Lee Greenwood?
No. I mean, I'm sure that song... I mean, that song, it's got meaning for a lot of people for a lot of different reasons, and it's fine. That's nothing wrong with that. But like,
but there seems to be like a sameness,
yeah,
across that community, like stuff they're into and things they listen to, and maybe it's just like every community has that.
Could be.
Just picking on them.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's all of the complaints. I don't really care who it is, but if you're ever upset about an entertainment thing, because football's an entertainment thing, just don't watch.
Yeah.
If you don't like that's me. I don't like any of the halftime shows almost ever. You know what I do? I go do something else for the 20, 30 minutes of halftime because I don't care. It's just walk away. It's fine.
So Angel Reese, the WNBA player, has just been named as a runway model for the Victoria's Secret fashion show. And after I learned this news, I did a little digging because I thought they had canceled that back in like 2019 and weren't going to do it anymore. But it turns out they just canceled it for a couple of years. It actually returned to, I believe, Amazon Prime in 2023. So Victoria's Secret is back. Mm. And we've got an athlete walking in the show this year. Victoria Beckham, Posh Spice, says, I know I look moody on the outside, but I'm smiling on the inside.
Oh, thank God. I'm glad she cleared that up.
I was so concerned about a thing I didn't know.
She says people viewed her as a miserable cow.
No, that's fine. You know, that's, I don't think that's over dramatic at all. You should say that. Yeah.
That seems like someone who is like really imprinting their own feelings on other people. I don't think anybody looked at her and thought maybe. She's a cow.
Little projection, perhaps.
So earlier this week, I told you guys that LeBron James was making this like big decision announcement, and a lot of people thought he was going to be saying
the
he
decision
was retiring.
Part two.
Yes. Turns out it was just an ad for, I believe, Hennessy. Well, now a Los Angeles Lakers fan is suing LeBron James, alleging that he was duped with the second decision and cost him hundreds of dollars because he basically went out, rushed out, and bought some seats to what would have been LeBron's last ever matchup with the Cleveland Cavaliers if he was, in fact, retiring.
Stupid.
Yeah.
The man,
gotta think that gets thrown out pretty quick, right?
I would think so.
Also, if it's just for a couple hundred bucks, aren't you going to pay more in legal fees to make all that happen?
You'd think.
Idiot.
I mean, I think it's pretty self-policing. Like, anyone who would actually do that is pretty much of a douche.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Just go to the game and have a good time.
Yeah. Or you got fooled.
Yeah. You got fooled. You acted rashly. No one said he was retiring. You made an assumption, acted rashly on it, and you have some nice tickets to a basketball
game.
Yeah,
you can still go to a game. Yeah.
Go and have fun or sell the tickets.
One more celebrity news story for you guys. SiriusXM gave Megyn Kelly her own channel. It's called the Megyn Kelly Channel. It's taking over Channel 111. That's the current home of the Triumph Channel on SiriusXM.
What's that?
I don't know.
What if it was all Triumph songs?
Yeah.
I think it might be the Insult Comic Dog. I think it's like a comedy channel.
No, they don't have, like those that. Don't really go, really?
I could be wrong, but my dad had SiriusXM and was very into it because he'd never seen anything like that.
Triumph had like Nancy Grace, Dave Ramsey, Glenn Beck.
Yes, I'm seeing that right now. Most of these non-Megyn Kelly shows that are currently airing on Channel 111 are moving to Channel 123 to make room for even more Megyn Kelly, as well as guest speakers, series, and specials.
Remember when Megyn Kelly was super into me?
I do remember that, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
I was not on the show, I don't think.
Nah, you weren't here. Okay. You didn't get to bask in that glow.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty overt.
You guys were buddies?
Oh.
Okay.
Think she wanted a little more.
Oh?
She gave me a look.
Nice.
That's right.
All right.
I made a little jokey joke.
Yeah?
She gave me that sly little smile.
All right, I get you.
We might have screenshotted it.
You might have.
We might have. It might be my phone background.
Man, I watched Bombshell a couple weeks ago.
That movie's brutal, man.
It was brutal. I watched it on the plane when I was traveling. And speaking of Megyn Kelly, Charlize Theron did such an amazing job as Megyn Kelly. She just like faded into that role. Like I felt like I was watching her. The voice, the look, everything was kind of spot on.
Yeah, that was difficult to watch.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
DGS 220, happy Friday. Keep clearing my throat today. Coming up at 3 p.m., we have Barry Mendelson in. Barry is a true legend, an OG in sports and entertainment as a producer. He is producing Spaghetti Wars here in St. Louis, which premieres tomorrow, which George Mahey told us about a few months ago. So he's in town, and we have a mutual friend, my dear friend Vanessa, and he's going to come down and be with us live at 3 p.m.
Very cool.
I think you and Barry should have a lot to talk about.
I mean, good Lord, he started off in sports.
Yeah.
I believe.
Did play-by-play?
Yeah, I mean, he was like, I want to say, his, like his first thing that he was known for was like doing the New York Giants.
Yes.
But he did, I think he did some basketball.
He was
a GM.
I think he's
done front office, he's done broadcast, he's done producing, so yeah.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
Let's do DJ's Happy Hour. I will start out with the greatest horror villain of every decade over the last 100 years.
All right.
Ooh.
1920s. Any guesses?
Frankenstein.
Nosferatu.
Mm. Yep. Oh, yeah.
In the 1930s, it was Bela Lugosi as Dracula.
Yep.
In the 1940s, it was Lon Chaney Jr. as the Wolfman. In the 1950s, Rhoda Pinmark from The Bad Seed.
Don't know that one.
One of the original Evil Kid movies.
Hmm.
1960s, it was Norman Bates from Psycho. 1970s, it was Michael Myers from Halloween.
All right.
1980s, Freddy Krueger from A Nightmare on Elm Street. Hmm. 1990s, Candyman. Kind of a surprise.
Remember that one?
Candyman's scary.
The 2000s, the Jigsaw Killer from Saw. Never saw a single minute of any one of those.
Yeah, I saw the first one. I think I saw the first two or three. The only one that was decent was the first one.
2010's Annabelle from The Conjuring. And 2020's Art the Clown from the Terrifier movies. Mm. I haven't seen any of those.
I haven't either. I hear they're supposed to be terrifying.
I don't like the way he looks.
Art the Clown?
Yeah. What else you guys got?
I'm looking at a graphic here showing the U.S. presidents who have won the Nobel Peace Prize. As we know, President Donald Trump was like up for it, but they ended up passing him over. But some of the former presidents who have won are Teddy Roosevelt for his role in bringing an end to the bloody war recently raged between two of the world's greatest powers, Japan and Russia. Woodrow Wilson for his role as founder of the League of Nations. Jimmy Carter for his decades of untiring effort to find peaceful solutions to international conflicts, to advance democracy and human rights, and to promote economic and social development. And then here's what's interesting, Obama. So we were talking about Obama winning the Nobel Peace Prize, I think, yesterday, and neither of us could remember why he won. He won for his extraordinary efforts to strengthen international diplomacy and cooperation between peoples. Which is pretty vague.
Yeah, it is.
And it turns out that Obama actually did an interview with Stephen Colbert in 2016 and joked, like, I actually don't even know what my Nobel Peace Prize was for. So I guess we shouldn't feel too bad about not being able to immediately recall that yesterday.
Yeah.
I know it's its own thing, right? The Nobel organization, and it's just a few people in a small group in a small country that decide this. Can we stop? Maybe picking like currently active and sitting politicians in any country. I mean, like if you are a president, a prime minister, isn't that your job? To try to keep things peaceful, to try to keep conflict from happening.
Yeah, but I think it's for if you go like above and beyond in the ability and accomplish something truly remarkable. And that's kind of my question. I'm not being inflammatory. I'm not trying to be disrespectful in any way towards any currently sitting presidents. Why was Trump up for the award?
I guess for the fact, I mean, he says he stopped 8 wars from happening.
Okay.
And then a lot of people are pointing towards the deal that's currently being worked out
with
Israel.
Which has not happened.
Yes. So I think that's probably
But I think
why
that would be the
happen.
One, right? That would be the, that would be the linchpin to it. I don't know. I know, again, they're their own group. They can do what they want. I'm just always skeptical when you're picking people that are already in these really important spots to do important big things like that. I felt the same kind of way when they gave it to Obama. I was like, why? Like, he's doing his job. That's his job. His job is to try to keep things peaceful.
I mean, are you going to broker peace between Ukraine and Russia?
No, but that's my point. Like, I would like it to be, I don't know, I would like it to be outside the political sphere, but again, I know it's wishful thinking and they're their own group. They can do whatever the hell they want. It's not run by any government.
So who would it be for then?
What?
Like, who would it be for then? Who would get
know.
It
if so, not? As an example.
Like, who's in a position to broker peace except for currently sitting in
as
working
an example,
politician?
Someone like Mother Teresa would be an example. A person that is not working on behalf of a government, but that is doing things to make people's lives better, to help people, to promote set piece to do. It can be a lot of different things. I admit that I may be wrong, but I feel like I get cynical about it because then you start feeling about favoritism, and then you feel like, are we doing this just to get attention? Oh, well, if we give it to one, do we have to give it to another to avoid being awkward? How about we just wait till they're either out of office or we just pick people that are doing things in a different way?
Do you know the stuff about Mother Teresa being a monster?
I've heard the rumors. I've never seen the details.
Yeah. You can Google it. Pretty crazy.
Didn't she give her the Nobel Peace Prize?
I think she got one, didn't she?
Probably.
Or like a Nelson Mandela or, you know, whatever. And there are, because before he was president. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I just feel like it just becomes a thing then.
Oh, of South Africa. I was like, I don't think Nelson Mandela was ever president.
No, not our president. That's...
Yeah, that's, that stopped everybody.
Yeah.
Talk about a Mandela effect. You guys remember when Nelson Mandela was U.S. president?
Yeah, the ultimate. Welcome back, guys. DGS. Happy Friday. Every Friday, we talk to Bernie Miklas. He joined us now. Hey, Bern.
Good to be with you, Dave and crew. How's everybody?
Everyone's good, man. It's Friday. Everyone's in a good mood. Let's start with baseball. We have a lot of football to talk about, a lot of college football to talk about, and we'll end things with the Blues. But a little bit of Cardinals news. I heard this on, I think, Rush Hour last night, that the Cardinals evidently are having some sort of discussions with Yadier Molina. What do you think?
Well, the seeds were planted on that, you know, quite a while back, and I wouldn't be surprised if he does, in fact, join the coaching staff. Now, I wish I could confirm it and be really confident about it, but I don't. But I know a couple of things. I know that on the last game that both of these guys played as Cardinals, Albert Pujols and Yadier Molina, final game of the playoffs and the season, over they go into retirement, but the next day, you know, players are gathering their stuff and they're clearing out. And both Albert Pujols and Yadier Molina went into the office of Ollie Marmol, and they went in separately. It wasn't like a coordinated thing, at separate times. And both said, listen, we really enjoyed playing for you. You did a heck of a job. I mean, you're a really good young manager, and, you know, you have a chance to be really, really special. And so we love playing for you. And both of these guys said in separate conversations that if he ever had the need, you know, they would be willing to coach for him because they respect him so much. And the thing of it is there was a caveat with that. The caveat was that, you know, Yadier wasn't going to go coaching right away because his son was a great high school player. He had a chance to get big, you know, full rides at some great baseball programs. So he had to move with his son to the Dallas-Fort Worth area for that. And he sort of poured into his son, you know, and that son became his top priority. Albert Pujols was engaged to be married and planning a big wedding. And he said, hey, I got, you know, two or three jobs. And I also want to spend a lot of time with my wife. And, you know, and then, you know, at some point she knows I'm going to get back into baseball. So it wasn't anything where, you know, either one of them on an imminent basis was going to join the coaching staff, but they just expressed an interest one day they'd like to do it. And Yadier Molina followed through with it. It doesn't mean that Albert doesn't want to do it. It's just, you know, Yadier Molina has followed through with it by being a guest coach this past season, which I thought was significant. It wasn't just a, you know, a vacation thing just to have a little fun. I mean, Molina's an interesting cat because he's the smartest player I've ever covered, and maybe him and Pujols tied for first, but He still feels like to be a manager, he's got a lot to learn, and he wants to observe, and he wants to see how, you know, managers handle certain things and also the demands that come with the job. Yeah. And they spend a lot of time talking about those things. I'm talking about Yadi and Ollie. So we'll see. I mean, I think there's something to it, but I can't say, yeah, it'll definitely happen. I think they're trying to make it happen.
It's a really interesting thing too. And from a timing perspective, Bern, having a guy like Molina around when you have a lot of young catching. I mean, you've got young catching now. You've got more young catching. They're going to be relying on young catchers. I mean, that's kind of right. The play. Could not be a better time to have that dude in the dugout.
No doubt. And I think, listen, Yadi's never talked about this, but I know this for sure. You know, Yadi understands something too. if he wants to manage in the big leagues, he's going to have to kind of finesse himself a little bit. I mean, there's some concerns about, you know, he's such a hard nosed competitor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, can he control his emotions? You know, would he be overly intense as a manager? And listen, he knows what he's doing. He's a really smart guy, but I think he also knows, you know, part of the manager is you're projecting an image of the franchise and you're sort of the face of the franchise. And, you know, I think he knows that teams have to feel good about that. You know, they got to make sure, okay, yeah, he gets it. He's good. He'll be good to go. And I think he wants to work on his media skills, which even though fans will say, oh, nobody cares about the media. Well, actually they do. Mm-hmm. Because the manager is the number one spokesman for a franchise, and he's got to be really good at handling these questions and making it interesting.
Yeah, and being willing. I mean, it's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, right. I mean, you got to talk to microphones and cameras 3-4 times a day. And that's right. Not even counting, you know, anything extraordinary happening. That's just pregame radio interview. You know, you're going to talk to the whole group pregame, the whole group postgame, and you're doing that every day. And it doesn't mean he can't. It's just, does he want to?
Well, I think he knows he has to. And so if he has to, he'll do it and do it right. And I think he's trying to be more visible for that reason as well.
Hmm. Let's talk about some football. Let's start out with Mizzou, Alabama.
Listen, I think Mizzou's got a really great chance here. And if I had to put money down, I would put money down on Mizzou. I can give you a kind of a trend angle on this. Based on the AP poll rankings system devised by a brilliant guy named Steve Mackinnon, in games featuring two ranked teams since 2017, the home teams have won straight up 70% of the time and 60% against the spread. So that's the nerd thing. The other thing is I did a deep dive in Sports Info Solution, their database, where you got all kinds of good stuff. All I'll say is this, because nobody wants to hear me read numbers. All I'll say is this. All the things that Ahmad Hardy does well, those are the things Alabama does not do well. Like, they're not good against the run. They give up a huge success rate per play on the ground. And I've heard one person after another say, well, you know, Alabama will put 6 in the box. They'll put 7 in the box. They'll slow them down. Long story short, Ahmad Hardy is the best runner in college football, and it's not even close when you stack the box with extra tacklers. There are times where he has had 9 guys in the box this season, and he just runs right through them, runs them over, keeps going. This is Alabama has been not good away from home defensively with Kalen DeBoer as their coach. And I'll give you one number. In the 5 games that they've lost away from their home stadium the last 2 years, Alabama's defense gave up an average of 133 yards after contact per game. What does Ahmad Hardy do? Yards after contact. No one's even close to him. He just piles them up.
The thing that I'm curious about, Byron, we can get into this a little bit more later, too, on Rush Hour. My concern for Mizzou is Ty Simpson and the Alabama receivers and their ability to make big plays, because all of those guys are 15, 18 yards per catch. Obviously, Ryan Williams is a future, you know, top 10 draft pick kind of guy. But they have some depth at that, and they have a lot of big play capability, and that would be my worry if I'm trying to sort through what I think about this matchup.
Agreed. And Mizzou's secondary's had blown coverages against quarterbacks that aren't that spot. Now, the one thing I was looking at on that, though, Mizzou's pass rush has got the number one pressure rate, in college football powers. Okay. Ty Simpson is under pressure a lot. Now, I've read some previews of people say, well, Alabama knows this, and, you know, they'll probably do a good job against Mizzou's pass rush. Well, why do we assume that? And they're not a great pass blocking team. They're good, but they're not great.
Right.
So they have the ability to get the pressure on him. Now, it doesn't mean it'll happen. The other thing I'm looking at here, I think Ty Simpson's really good. I think he's maybe bordering on being a little overrated. The more accurate passer is Bo Prabula. I mean, it's a fact. That's not an opinion. It's a fact. The one thing that Bo Prabula doesn't do that Ty Simpson does do, Bo Prabula and the Kirby Moore, the offensive coordinator, they thrive on the short passing attack. You know, quick release, get it out, let the receiver catch it, runs for some yards. Mizzou does not have a downfield passing attack at all. In fact, I think there's a reason for that. I think they've been sitting on that. And I wouldn't be surprised if they open it up a little bit tomorrow. They just don't go downfield that much.
Yeah, you're right.
Burton, let's talk about Illinois, Ohio State.
It's a tough matchup for the Fighting Illini. The key to the game, in my studies, I sound so pretentious there. I'm sorry. In my studies, the one factor I would say, well, here's why Illinois has a chance, right? Their defense is one of the best blitzing defenses in college football. They have an exceptional success rate when they blitz the quarterback. The Ohio State quarterback is brilliant when he goes against the blitz. So the one big advantage they could have to disrupt Ohio State's offense, I think it's neutralized because Julian saying their young quarterback is really, really good at blasting blitzes and making teams pay for doing it. I don't see – look, as much as I think Altmyer's such a really, really good quarterback, he hadn't played a defense like this, and I think it's just going to be a little tough for Illinois to score points.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of points, because you're going to have to score some points to win that game.
Oh, yeah, you'll have to score, what, at least 35, I would think.
The key to me is whether they'll cover or not. I would doubt it, but I don't know. I just care about winners and losers, right?
That's how I am, too, when I look at it, yeah.
So only one game under our belt, not a great one for the Blues last night. Any thoughts?
Well, I was going through all the comment sections and, you know, stuff online. And from what I understand, the season is over. this defenseman that they got from Montreal.
Yeah, Mayhew, yeah.
Yeah, Mayhew, he shouldn't be in the league. He should be in the AHL. He's a bust. I can't believe Armstrong fell for this. And I wrote a friend of mine who's a hockey, said, you know, Y'all got your own Jordan Walker now. He was like, what? And I was making a joke. I said, this dude's played one game in the Blue Note, and he's getting killed. And everyone's saying he's a minor leaguer, and he's not smart, and he's not this, and he's not that. I said, okay, you got yourselves your own Jordan Walker. And I was being facetious, of course. Are you surprised that people are overreacting as much as they are? They're making Zachary Bolduc like the next Guy LaFleur.
Yeah.
He scored a couple goals. So he's the Randy Arozarena of the Blues, right?
Yeah, I am a little surprised that they're doing that, because last year they were terrible and then all of a sudden had this amazing second. Let it play out, man. They were the worst team in the league in January when they won the cup. Like, game one doesn't tell you anything.
It's one game.
Yeah.
It reminds you, we have that cut of La Russa, I'm sure, somewhere in the bank. Where La Russa couldn't believe a line of questioning like 4 or 5 games into the season. And at one point, whoever it was, he just said, it's the first week of the season.
Yeah.
Why are you all freaking out?
Yeah.
It's the first week of the season, you know.
So. If I remember correctly, it was questions about why they weren't hitting. It was about the offense and struggling.
Right.
And then he followed that, Bernie, because we were both there. I think he followed that with, you don't think Albert's going to hit? You don't think this guy's going to hit? We're going to hit. Right. It's the first. And that was 2011, right?
I think it was, yeah.
I think it was the first really, week really of 2011, yeah.
Hey, the Blues have a lot of talent. They're going to be good. You know, now, if this game would have happened on, like, November the 29th, would people be this negative and hysterical? No. Because the best hockey teams in the world will go through a stretch where, in 4 or 5 a season, they're terrible, just absolutely terrible. But I think on opening night, you know, everyone's jacked up, and so they have their worst game. Hopefully that'll be the worst game they play this season.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Burton, tell us about Zuliga before we let you go for the weekend.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
right now. New Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, DGS 251. How about some fast food news?
Well, we have some breaking news in the fast food tier. Long John Silver's is rebranding with chicken front and center. And when I say front and center, I mean they replaced the fish in the logo with a chicken.
The hell's happening right now?
Look at Dave's face.
What's happening right
this
now?
This is some IHOP.
Like IHOP. Yeah, that's what that
this
feels
is
like.
Some, which is
I
the
swear,
worst thing.
They're also doing a chicken and seafood tagline right below the logo. Yeah, I mean, I thought maybe I had seen a fake story too, but I checked several sources and they are pivoting to chicken and seafood rather than just the fish place.
Yeah. That's a Hail Mary.
Mm-hmm. Also, you're named after a pirate.
Right.
What do pirates have to do with chicken? Although their chicken's good. Not going to lie. It's pretty good.
Pirates probably ate chicken.
I'm a Captain D's guy.
Are you?
Yeah.
I don't mind the silver, but...
I mean, the chicken and the fish are almost identical.
I'll tell you where the chicken's
a lot alike.
I'll tell you where the chicken's not so good. Captain D's.
Really?
I don't think their chicken's all that good.
Hmm. Well, as long as they're good at the fish, who cares?
I like the scrimps.
Did you guys talk about this while I was on vacation? Pumpkin cheesecake is returning to Olive Garden for fall.
No.
That's all we talked about.
We did that for 2 days.
Yeah.
Let's see. Arby's has introduced steak nuggets nationwide. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's basically just some little steak chunks that you can get.
They've had those in the past, I think, right?
Well, they tested them in several markets in the past, and now it's rolling out nationwide. Again, I always see these things on Reddit. I've seen a lot of complaints about the steak nuggets.
It's hard to do.
Just saying
those
they look
well.
Bad, they don't taste great, but... Obviously, they did well enough in these test markets to where they're rolling it out for everyone.
If you have a good store that's run well, you'll probably get good ones.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, I mean, we see that where the food quality will be just based on each individual location at any fast food place.
You know what I did last night because I'm a nice guy?
What'd you do?
Sent a big honking piece of cheesecake from Cheesecake Factory to both Nick and Bree.
Oh?
That's nice.
Nice. What kind?
I got an Oreo and then a raspberry truffle chocolate.
Oh?
And it seemed to have worked out perfectly.
Very nice.
Yes.
Very nice.
Then I tried to send myself White Castle, but I still had their address on my DoorDash.
Oh, you sent them that too?
You also sent them White Castle.
Oh. They walked out this morning and found White Castle.
Oh.
Okay, here's a good deal for you guys. Wendy's has launched a new $8 Junior Bacon Cheeseburger meal deal. You get two Junior Bacon Cheeseburgers, a medium natural cut fry, and a medium soft drink for $8. In 2025, that's a pretty darn good deal.
Wendy's fries are good, man.
I love Wendy's fries, dude.
They're very good.
They might be my favorite fries. Always good.
Yep.
Panda Express is introducing a new crispy sesame shrimp and beef. So it's like a surf and turf situation. Yum.
I never feel worse than when I eat Panda Express.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
Is it because you eat it all?
Oh.
Because I do that sometimes. I'm like, oh, that was too much.
Yeah, maybe.
You know what's really good, though? Is that walnut honey glazed shrimp thing. God, that's so good. It's extra, though. You got to pay extra to get that.
Not a big giant. I need to see my scrimps prepared.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit like raging milk.
Man, the honey walnut. Oh, that's so good. Yeah.
One more story for you guys. Applebee's has a $2 for $25 menu deal, which we all know about, of course. But they have welcomed a new grilled cheese cheeseburger to the menu and a chicken parmesan fettuccine.
Ooh. Kind of like that.
Wouldn't every cheeseburger be a grilled cheese?
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, it depends. It's probably on toast, right? Not on a bun.
Yeah, let's see. The I think exact... that's
what the difference.
That so and... it's a juicy all beef patty layered with four slices of melted American cheese and a tangy patty bacon melt? Sauce.
Kind
of. Toasted potato bread. I think the thing that makes bread. It the grilled cheese, Andrew, is the toasting aspect.
I like potato how bread. I like how suspicious we all are of this.
Yeah. Mm. Now I want one.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.